Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
I was really thankful that Harold talked about ordinary people, and especially when I heard him say that basically his ministry was set to change the world. Because it's very similar with what I felt the Lord has commissioned me to do. And that's to change Christians. Wonder which one is the hardest. If ever we're to experience some of the depths and the heights of the Christian experience that we all know are available, to be able to walk in the glory and the manifested presence of God, not only do we have to change, but you know, what really has to be changed is our concepts. Our concepts have to be changed. Because whatever you believe, whether it be positive or negative, is going to affect your Christian experience. And Harold said two words last night, too, that confirmed to me, and I've been very blessed in my Christian experience because I've been able to be ministered to by some of the most recognized prophets in the land. But Harold Eberly said two words last night that confirmed more than anything I've ever heard what God has really burdened upon me, and that is to raise the God consciousness, the awareness of God within His people. Your problems, whatever they may be, and whatever you think they are, or even whatever they are, whatever your problems are, is a result of not having a proper consciousness. Now, consciousness is simply awareness, what we are aware of. We are either self-conscious, aware of, for instance, our natural birth, our personality, our makeup, our weaknesses, our hang-ups, our sins. We are aware of all of that, our inabilities, our ineffectiveness in being able to walk the Christian life, our inabilities to be able to overcome sometimes even the smallest weaknesses of the flesh. That is self-consciousness. And the other side of that is to become aware or conscious of the glorious, magnificent essence of God ascending within your consciousness. And you becoming aware then of not your shortcomings, your failures, your hang-ups or your sins, but you're so aware of such a sweet, wonderful, inner flowing of His life. And you can have that regardless of where you find your Christian experience today. And I'll tell you this, if you don't find it, if you do not experience the flowing and the essence of God in the midst of your miserable, wretched condition, you will never change. You'll always be conscious of not being able to do that which you know you were destined to do. One of the biggest problems and one of the biggest hindrances to us is our concept of sin. And I pray to God that my words will not be misunderstood, because we are not here to justify our miserable, wretched condition or to say it's okay to have that sin that so easily besets us or to say that we can live any way we want to and have the abundant life of God, no. But regardless of your condition, God is available. And most of us have had small children. And we all warn our children of certain things. For instance, maybe you have some things in your medicine cabinet that would not be so good for your children to get a hold of. And you would tell them, stay away from this area of the kitchen or the bathroom. Don't ever take this sustenance into you. Don't let it become a part of you. Because the very day that you uncap that bottle and drink of that medicine, no matter how much I love you, no matter how much my heart would ache for you, if you drink that, you're going to die. And once you drink that medicine, I don't care from that point what you do, no matter how good you are, no matter what you do for your entire life, eventually that medicine, if you drink it, it's going to kill you. This is God's concept of sin. He wasn't angry with Adam and Eve in the garden. I'll tell you, sometimes we are so privileged to enter in to the Father's heart and to get a sense of how He really feels about sin. And because of that act in the garden, there was not a chance for man after that in his natural carnal condition to be able to please God. He drank of the poison. And the results of taking that poison into him then affected every area of human living, affected everything on the planet. Sin is a killer. And the results of sin, of course, are then come in disobedience, rebellion. The results of sin is a cancer, for instance. It's all a result of the fall of man. Now, I would like to ask you something. If you manifest cancer in your body, that's a result of sin, does God get angry at you? Does He really get angry because you manifest cancer? Does God get angry and upset with you because you manifest? And you know what? The results of manifesting anything of the fallen nature, that's a result of the fall. If you get cancer, it's not because you did something to accept that or invite that. It's just a fact of the fall. If you manifest tuberculosis, does God get angry with you? I'll tell you, that's our concept. I've often said the only man that ever had a free will, one of the biggest teachings in Christianity is that you have a free will. Yet the only man in the universe who ever had a free will was Adam. And once he chose disobedience and took into him the nature of sin, his will was in captivity to that nature of sin. And that captive will was transferred to the whole human race. Now, whether it's his will, whether it's his mind, whether it's emotion, anything of the carnal realm is in captivity to the law of sin and death. Carnal man, no matter how good he is, no matter how... Listen, I was a Christian for 13 years and I used to cry to God, cry over and over, God, why am I like this? No matter how much I read the Bible, no matter how much I prayed, no matter how much I go out on the streets and preach the gospel, I was still carnal. And I was still that man in Romans chapter 7 who wanted desperately to please God, but finding another law in my being, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. And I'll tell you, as a Christian, I manifested the results of a carnal nature. Now, I haven't manifested cancer, but I have manifested lust, pride, envy, bitterness, backbiting. Does God get angry with me when I manifest a cancer? All of you would say no. But 99% of the Christians could not say that if they see a Christian who is naming the name of God committing sin. In fact, I was taught as a Christian that if you do not cut loose and break away from sin, that God will have nothing to do with you. I heard a minister say this one time, and it destroyed me temporarily. It was somebody I highly respected. He said, "Don't you think, Christian, that you can blow smoke in the face of Jesus and make it into heaven?" Almost destroyed me. Because then I accepted the concept that I could not enter into God's presence smoking. It almost destroyed. In fact, it did destroy me for a while. And I'll tell you how I came out of that. How I come out of the bondage of lust and pride and all of whatever it is. One day as I was really, I'll never forget, I was in my bedroom and I was seeking after God and I was saying, God, there's got to be more. Where is the abundant life? There has to be more. There has to be more. There has to be a way out of this, wanting to please you and yet wanting to please the flesh. I'll never forget, I went to somebody one time and I said, I want God, but I can't stand this. I haven't had a cigarette in probably 5 days and I can't stand it. What am I going to do? And this person said to me, well, what do you want most? Do you want God or do you want the cigarette? And I said, you know what? I hate to say this, but right now I want the cigarette. I want it. And I want it more than I want God. And so they said, can't help you. Because you're making your own choices. Oh, that is so wrong. It is so wrong. Yet it seems so right. Because of our Christian upbringing that we've had. And so it was one of those times when I was really devastated and I was in my bedroom on my knees and I had my Bible open and I said, God, I just don't know what to do. I don't. I just don't know what to do. And the Lord took me into the book of Revelations and just had me read a few things. And I read in there about the Apostle John. And God said to me, do you realize, now listen, when God speaks to you, this is what changes your life. God said, do you realize that John saw you there? I said, what? He said, do you realize that John saw you there? In the book of Revelation, John had a vision of all the redeemed of all the earth. And God said to me, John saw you there. And from that moment, I never again suffered under condemnation. But yet it was probably another 10 years before I got out of it. But God did show me the way to get out. This is a Feast of Tabernacles. The only way that you, I, or anyone on this earth will ever escape and get out of the carnal nature is learning to feast upon the one who gave his life to become a piece of bread. Jesus said, I am come as a piece of bread. In fact, he said, if you eat of the bread that I give you, you will never die. We are a result of what we've been taking into us all of our lives. You are a product of what you have been receiving into you. And it's so easy to get out of the bondage of the sin of the flesh. If you will begin to receive into you spiritual food. And if you remember, because you see, what hinders you more than anything else is your concepts. And if you feel that you are not worthy enough, and that because of the lifestyle that you're living, you can't get to God, that concept hinders. I'll tell you, it won't stop God from moving in your life, but it hinders. Your concepts will hinder you. Paul said that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's another thing God spoke to me one time. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Oh, Christian, you don't have to finish it. You don't have to. You don't have to finish it. I've often shared that Jesus didn't come to give us a new set of rules and regulations and raise our standard of living higher and the requirements higher. And that's also what I was taught as a Christian, that Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes were given to raise our standard of living so high. And now that Jesus came and he lives in us, that now we have a higher standard to reach for than even the Ten Commandments. Boy, you talk about put a burden on someone. God's answer for sin was that I will take away from you, out of you, your stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and then I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Oh, if you could only believe that. Could only believe that. Oh, Christian, please, if you could only believe that. You may resist, you may balk, you may get into rebellion. But I can guarantee you, the Holy Spirit, sometimes called the Hound of Heaven, will raise up such circumstances in your life. You talk about going through the fire, you may go through the fire. But we're sealed unto God. We have the seal of God. The only thing that you have to know for a surety is that His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Do you know that? Because if you know that, if you know that you know that you know I've experienced God, then you know that He's planted His seed within you. And He made a promise and a covenant with Abraham and his seed. The covenant that He gave the promise to was the seed. And Paul tells us this seed is Christ. Christian, you're not obligated to keep the covenant. The covenant promise is to the seed. And if you have the seed, oh, do you have the seed? If you can say there was a time in my life when I know that I know that I know that I know, and it might have been 20 years ago, it might have been 90 years ago. But if you know that you know that you know that I was touched by God, something happened on the inside of me that I could never deny. Somehow, some way, God broke through and I experienced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you haven't, before you do anything else, you must have that experience. Because if you haven't, there's not much hope. Because you see, the only hope, Christian, that you have, the only hope, the only one, is Jesus Christ in you. And if He's in you, oh, God has a covenant with His seed. And that covenant of His seed, the covenant is to bring you into maturity so that you can fully reveal and manifest to the world the life of your Father. Covenant has nothing to do with your carnal nature, nothing whatever to do. Strive all you will, struggle all you will. It has nothing to do with your struggling, your striving, or your trying to be godly. The covenant is with the seed. In that seed of God is everything that you could possibly ever need to fully grow up into Him in all things and reveal and manifest Him to the world. It's all there in the seed. It's in the seed. It's in the seed. It's not in your carnal nature. It's not in your carnal mind. It doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are. What matters is, do you have the seed? And if you know that you have the seed, then please have the blessed assurance that in that seed, some people call it predestination. That's kind of a nasty word among some circles. But that seed of God that's been placed in your being is predestinated. Maybe a better word is pre-programmed. In the seed of corn, there is predestinated in that seed, or pre-programmed in that seed, everything that seed needs to grow up and manifest the corn kingdom, or whatever seed that is. The only thing that seed needs is water, nourishment, a little bit of sun for the heat, to break the shell of the outer man so that the seed can begin to root and take grow. And there is only one thing, nothing else will work. There is nothing else that you can do to win God's favor except feed and nourish the seed. Begin to receive into your daily life, even moment by moment, the awareness that God, the God of the universe, has placed within the very center of my consciousness the seed of His life. And oh, Father, how we need a revelation, oh God, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Oh, that we might know the glory. God, that we might understand and comprehend that the very power of our God. Oh, the very resurrected power of our God is deposited within that seed. And oh, Father, as that seed begins to root and to take growth, that seed within our consciousness then pushes out everything of the old. You can't get rid of it any other way. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. You can't get rid of them any other way. You can't repent enough. You can't pray enough. You can't do enough. But oh, when the seed begins to grow, and it's so easy to cause that seed to grow, it's called fellowship. Oh, Father, I don't understand. In my miserable, wretched, sinful condition, how that you could place the very seed of your life within my being. But oh God, I'm so grateful. I'm so glad that I have a God who justifies the ungodly. Oh God. And simply by fellowshipping, simply by intimate fellowship with our Father God, the seed begins to grow. And oh, Christian, believe me, I look not at that shell of the outer man. I do not see, and I cannot see, and neither can I look upon the sin in the carnal nature. I say unto you that I look beyond everything that you are, and I see within the very seed of my life that I placed within you. I see my glory. I see my nature. I see my ability, and I speak forth the words of encouragement and enlightenment. I speak forth that which would cause the seed of God within you to spring forth and to bring forth my love to the world. Oh, God does not get angry with you, Christian, because you manifest sin. Oh, if you could only believe that. Doesn't get angry with you. How could you do anything else? The man who thinks he has overcome sin by anything he has done is the man most deceived, and a man whose ministry you wouldn't want to set under. But oh, when God touches you. God, He comes to you bringing the bread of His word and the wine of His enjoyment. And He says to you that I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And I ask you, Christian, what are your enemies? Oh, they're not those without, but those within. The enemies of bitterness, the enemies of strife, the enemies of lust, any enemy that you have within your being. I don't care what your condition today. Listen to me, please. I don't care. You may be so full of lust. You may be prostituting. You may be homosexual. You may be lesbian, but listen to me. Oh, if you will only learn that in the presence of your enemies I have prepared a table. You will never overcome lust, pride, envy, backbiting, or jealousy, except you learn to feast in the very presence of your enemies. Oh, the bread of my word and the wine of my enjoyment. Don't let your concepts rob you. Don't let the teachings of the past rob you. Because if you can't get to God in your carnal nature, if you're one who is full of lust and you can't get to God in the midst of that, there is no hope for you. But if you'll know that in God there is no condemnation, there is only encouragement. There is only strengthening. There is only enlivening and energizing power of His Holy Spirit. That only comes through fellowship. That only comes through feasting on the bread of His Word and the wine of His enjoyment. You see, after God said to me, John saw you there. And after he said to me that I am the author and the finisher of your faith, I was still carnal, and I was still full of lust, and still full of all of those things that I hated in my life, yet I loved them. You know what I mean? We love it. It's our nature, Christian. We can't help it. But in the midst of that, to sit down and say, oh God, my enemies are so great. God, my lust is so strong. But oh God, in the midst of my enemies, you have prepared a table. And oh Father, I want to learn to feast upon your life. I want to learn to assimilate into my being the Word and the nature of my God. Oh, Father, that you would from the beachhead in my spirit begin to ascend and to infiltrate every area, every avenue of my thought in my brain. Oh, God, it's only through transformation that you make it. You know, if you quit, stop, and cut off every sin in your life today that you're doing, that you would be no closer to God than you are right now. You'd just be a better person. And to be a better person is certainly good. But what you need is God. You need God. You need to experience the delivering, awesome power of God. You need to experience that when that lust, Paul said it this way, the spirit strives against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, so you cannot do what you would. Well, for years that was my experience. I wanted desperately to do what God wanted me to do, but the flesh would say, no! And I couldn't do it. But one day, the teeter-totter fell to the other side. And my flesh would rise up, and I'd walk past an adult bookstore, and I'd feel that pull upon my flesh. And my spirit would rise up and say, no! And the sweetness of my God. You know, that's all we need, in thy presence. Do you know in God's presence, when we were in worship this morning, did you even think of your carnal nature? When we're enjoying God, sin is not a problem. But you see, what the problem is that we know by experience that we're going to come to church today, we're going to enjoy God, and we're going to go home and go right back into sin. Because that's our experience. And we think that because we live that kind of a lifestyle, God can't bless us. But if you learn, every time that you blow it, turn around and feast. Oh God, I did it again. But Father, I'm so very experienced in this life of sin. And I know that unless your resurrection power comes alive on the inside of me, there is no hope for me. So God, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What greater reward could you have than to be set free from the bondages of the flesh? What greater joy could there be in life? To be able to awaken in the morning and not to have that horrible cloud over you saying, oh God, what's it going to be today? What's my nature going to carry me into today? But to awaken in the light and the glory of God and to know that my God is sufficient and that within it's not just words that are spoken, but it's my God in me is greater than he that is in the world. The seed of God in me is beginning to grow. And now I know it's only a matter of time until all of the carnality is gone. Is it still there? Yes, I still have some. And like Harold shared, most of us were stopped by that 10% of carnal nature that's still there. Now, I don't care if it's 10% carnal nature or if it's 90% carnal nature. It can't stop you if you have the correct concept of sin. God does not get angry with you when you sin. You are simply manifesting that which Adam gave you by inheritance. All for the expression that we could understand God's heart and his eye of sin. He's not mad. He wasn't mad at Adam. He was, if anything, concerned that the man whom he brought forth and breathed the very breath of his life, the man that was full of the glory and the manifested presence of God, the man whom God had placed on the earth to rule over the earth and all things, had become defiled and separated in his consciousness from the awareness of God in him to give him life, and then had to live by a knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to repeat this for the benefit of those who haven't heard it. And that is, it's very obvious by your Christian experience whether you're living by the tree of life or by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you're living by a knowledge of good and evil, and that simply is choosing the good over the evil, your life then will reproduce the fruit of that tree, and your fruit of your life will be a fruit that is both good and evil. Romans chapter 7. That's the fruit of that tree. But if you learn to feast upon life, learn to receive those things into you that you know that are spiritually healthy for you, if you will simply back off from some of those things that you can back off from and take time away from some of those things that don't have you in captive, but they just take your time, and you will use that time to just sit and seek after God, you will find that slowly, oh, it can be very, very, very slow, but day by day and moment by moment, your awareness of God in you increases. And you can look back over your life and you can see the various areas that the seed has expanded. I said that God, that man no longer has a free will, but you can. Because if you will seek after God, God has a will. God has a plan for your life, but you can't figure it out. But when the seed of his life begins to grow, what does it do? It infiltrates your natural, fallen, carnal will and subdues it. And you become so pliable and so willing to do what God wants. It becomes very easy for you. Just as easy as it is to manifest a life of good and evil, it's just as easy once God begins to grow in you to manifest his life. It's not hard. It isn't. It's not hard. It's very easy because life flows. So if you find yourself, one day you're very good. Sister, I just love you so much. I just love you so, oh, you're so wonderful. You're so sweet. But tomorrow you say something to me I don't like. I thought she was really something. That's the tree of good and evil. Because the tree of life loves her, the life of God. I'll tell you, I could just have such a love for her. And she could abuse me. She can tell me, I don't have the call of God in my life. She can tell me, brother, your teaching is wrong. Brother, you're leading people into a life of looseness and liberty and sin, whatever. And I can just love her. I can say, oh God, she just doesn't understand. She doesn't understand God. Anybody that comes against God's anointed, they don't understand. I know this. They say there's some people in the world who are just not redeemable. They're not. That's what they say. But let me tell you something. If they meet the God that I know, they'll melt. And maybe the only way that they'll ever meet that God that I know is through my life. And so if I'm critical of them, if I'm condemning of them, if I'm always trying to adjust their life, if I'm always trying to tell them how they need to live and how they need to function in the church, oh, but if I just love them, if I just feed them. And not saying that you can't bring correction, of course you can. But let me tell you, when you go to someone with correction, they know where your spirit is. And they know right now whether it's done out of love and caring or whether it's just your old carnal nature. Bless God, this is my church and you'll do what I say. God can give you such a love. And the very first thing you learn to love is yourself. Once you realize the love that God has, and I'll tell you again that I was in so much bondage when I discovered this love. And when I realized that my miserable, wretched condition could not stop me from overcoming, could not separate me from God, could not keep me out of God's presence, when I realized that, I spent 10 more years coming out of it. And I'm still working my way out of it. But it's not hard. Because once you get a revelation, and we've all had the touch of the love of God on our lives, or we wouldn't be here. But there is such a deep revelation of His heart that the church hasn't seen yet. Because when you do see it, sin does not keep you from running to Him. My God, if you ever need Him, it's if you live a life of sin as a Christian. What a miserable existence that is. And you need Him if you're not overcoming. If you have sin and hang-ups and problems, you need Him. And He is not angry at you for manifesting what Adam gave you by inheritance. Please remember that. God never gets angry with you. If He gets angry at anything, He would be angry over the sin and want to help you out of it, not condemn you for manifesting a cancer. Think of it that way. Think of sin as a cancer. And if you manifest disease, nobody would say, oh, God's mad at, well, some people would maybe. But if you're manifesting a cancer, we wouldn't say God is angry at you. Why are you manifesting cancer? Don't you know that you have God in you? Don't you know that God is your healer? Don't you know that if you seek God, you don't have to have that cancer? God hates you to manifest that thing. Well, if you would look at sin like that, God's not mad at you, but He does want to help you out of it. But your concepts will hinder that. Whatever you get from God, whatever it is, it only comes by faith. And if you believe that God can't help you because you're so, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and I'm still this, or I'm still that, or I've still got lust, or I still do this. If you have that concept, that God can't help you because you're just too bad, you've been a Christian too long, and you failed too long, God can't help me. There's even a verse that says, so my how it's been misused and misinterpreted, that my spirit will not strive with you forever. But see, our carnal mind can take verses of Scripture and use them to condemn us and keep us in condemnation. So, let us feast. If we don't learn anything else, remember that we're ordinary people. We love ordinary things. Some of us still hang on to some of the things that we know we shouldn't. We're just ordinary people with ordinary hang-ups. But God has placed within us His seed. And as we learn to feast upon the bread of His Word and the wine of His enjoyment, the seed begins to grow and manifest that which is pre-programmed to do. The kingdom of God is fully revealed and manifested when the seed grows and comes into maturity. That's what I'm looking for in these days. We all know that there's a great harvest coming. And to me, that harvest speaks of maturity, because you can't harvest a field until it's mature. So God is giving us simple ways to teach us how that His love really is unconditional, and that if you'll simply learn how to receive into your being that which He prepares for you, which is fellowship with Him, that His life will grow in you and deliver you and manifest to the world the kingdom of His Son. Amen.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.